This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. We want to tell you we'll be giving tickets away at the end of today's show. If you want two tickets, we have two pair of tickets to give away. Give us a call at 517-884-4783. 517-884-4783. And this is two tickets to Loyola of Chicago coming up on Saturday. So give us a call and get a chance to win yourself some tickets to Loyola of Chicago and Michigan State coming up Saturday. Once again, 517-884-4783. Give us a call. We're going to be open line for better part of today's show. We have special guests for you coming up at 1:20 here on AM 870. In recognition of the Michigan State Spartans football team, their sixth straight bowl appearance in the game, the Downtown Coaches Club will hold its final luncheon of the 2012 season Friday, December 7th at Eagle Eye Golf Center. We'll team in a member of the Michigan State football radio broadcast team for 15 years and current broadcast host will be the guest speaker. Doors open at 10:30 and the program starts at 11:45. And so that's coming up on Friday. Now, it's official. MSU will represent the Big Ten in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl on Saturday, December 29th. You can call to register for tickets or call the hotline at 888-471-3027. The MSU Alumni Association and MSU's Athletics have partnered to bring you an exciting program in Tempe. You can be assured of the quality tour enjoyed in the company of other Michigan State alumni and friends. And due to numbers of tickets, ticket options available, football tickets are not included in the official tour package. So remember that. So please visit MSUSpartans.com to purchase tickets or for ticketing purchasing. Join fellow MSU fans and cheer the Spartans to victory in their sixth consecutive bowl appearance. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Well, I attended the game last night. Alex, didn't see you there, Alex, but, you know, that was, I'll just say it was a basketball game.
You know what, Earl? That's the thing. I don't even know if I'd call it a basketball game. It was a rout, Earl.
It
34
was.
To 5 up in the first half. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they didn't score a point in the first 10 minutes. That was, you know, I said, wow, I saw a team that didn't score a point in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Unbelievable, right?
It was. It was. They won it, of course, which they should have, 34 to 12 at halftime. And I have to give Arkansas Pine Bluff credit. They came back. They played a good second half. They did it. They played a competitive second half. But when you're down so far, as like Tom said after the game, kids are only human nature, and they basically played the score. They played the score, and,
right?
And that's unfortunate, but that's what, you know, kids for the most part they'll play the score, and today's players, it's hard for them to just play the game and play the best that they can play without looking at the scoreboard. I know we say that. The coach that came closest to getting players to play hard all the time and not really look at the scoreboard was Bob Knight. His guys used to play hard from the time the game ended to the time the game ended, and it didn't matter how big a lead or how far they were behind, trailing. But we don't hardly ever see that anymore. Every now and then you might see it, and that's because most of the time the other team will give up. You know, they just give up and just stop playing hard. We see that in the pros all the time. You know, last night the Pistons played a game against Golden State, and of course Draymond Green was back in town, but it was a close game until third quarter. Golden State put up 39 points in the third quarter, and, you know, Where was the defense then? They had good defense for the first half, but for whatever reason, that's why I don't like the NBA that much anyway. But you know, they just don't play consistent defense. Every now and then they'll play defense, or if the players feel like it. But you know, if you're coaching in the NBA, and I know most of the coaches, they want their teams to play defense, but what are you going to do? These guys got guaranteed 4, 5, 6 year contracts for the most part. Many of them do. If you're an end of the line player, you know, who's just got a 1 year or 3 or 4 week contract, what do you do then? Then you won't get in the game unless you're a guy who has a long term contract. That's for sure. So I don't know. The program is so different. But, you know, we just follow it. And the college game, you know, you can schedule so many cupcakes on your schedule. You can put a lot of cupcakes on there till the Big Ten season the season really starts is when the conference play. And Michigan State is just before, they got about 3 or 4 more games before they start conference play. So we'll have to be tortured with a few more games, even though the competition should be a lot better against Loyola of Chicago coming up on Saturday. That game should be close to being a competitive game. So we'll see that this Saturday when this is a game that you and I will be at. So we'll see that. But, yeah, that's going to be a game that should be a competitive game. Might even see a close score.
Yeah, now about the close score, Earl, let's talk about this team inside out for just a second here. A lot of fans, media, journalists have been paying attention to basically the makeup of this team. You've got Payne and Nix together. There was some debate about mixing them up a little bit. Well, now some people are saying that this is Keith Appling's team. He's a leader. He may not be the most vocal guy in the huddle, but he's the guy that's going to go out there, Earl, and give you the performance consistently, night in and night out. Now, do you agree with that this is slowly becoming Keith's team?
Well, it is, because Tom's given up on Nix and Payne playing them together. So Payne is coming off the bench now. While Nix is still starting. So, you know, and Payne's done a good job coming off the bench. So that seems to be working. And, yes, it's definitely going to be Keith Appling's team. And once Gary Harris gets his feet tomorrow, he'll have a lot to say about it too. So Keith Appling, yeah, it's his team, no doubt. He's done a good job in leadership. He's done a good job in resorting the other players to play better, play harder. He's done a good job of getting that. I mean, I don't know if the other players are taking a good reception to his voice there, because he is being a little bit more vocal and he's trying to be a better leader. So that's got to help. And I think Tom thinks it helps too. So hopefully the players will buy into it and buy into him being a leader.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, aside from him, let's talk about other leaders on this team. You've got Brandon Kearney. Izzo said that he's a vocal guy in the huddle.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about Kearney, Earl?
Well, Kearney is a good player. He's solid, and he's starting to get more playing time. I mean, you know, the bottom line is you have to be playing. You have to be in the playing group. If you're in the playing group and getting playing time, your teammates have more respect for you. You can't be out there a go-to guy or a screaming and talking guy, and you don't get to play. So if you're in the playing group, you know, that's important. So I think, and Kearney is now working his way into the playing group. He's getting more and more playing every time out. He's become a pretty good rebounder. He's a decent shooter, and he's becoming a viable part coming off the bench. So, yes, he's becoming a key component in the Izzo cog, in the Izzo machine, that is.
All right, now let's jump to a little bit about the captain, since we're still on that leadership topic.
Mm-hmm.
Earl, we've seen so many criticisms, so many things about Bird, so many things about Nix. After this game, you know, they were fixing up a couple kinks. What are your thoughts now on the captains of this team?
Well, we know that Nix is and trying. You know, about Bird, his teammates like him. He's a very light guy, But you know, that doesn't hold a lot to do about whether you're going to play a lot just because all the other guys like you. And so he's a well liked kid, and you know. That doesn't weigh in on his decision, on coach's decision whether to play him or not. He got a lot of minutes last night. He was 2 for 7 from the field last night. So he's starting to shoot a little better. So I, you know, Burton is still, he's going to be one of those end of the bench scorers. He may get a few minutes each half, but he's just not playing that much. Until he starts shooting consistently, then his minutes will go up because Thomas told us all consistently that Bird is such a good scorer, and he's got to, and that he keeps giving him a chance. I mean, that's one thing Bird can't say. He's not getting a chance. He's been getting plenty of chances, and now he's got to take advantage of them. When he's out there, you've got to score. And when I've been over there at practice, sometimes he scores in practices, sometimes he doesn't. So that's he's just got to score more, plain and simple, to get more playing time. Then if he scores more, he'll see more time on the court.
Right, and we've seen it so many times, passing him the ball, wide open shot. Sometimes he doesn't shoot the ball.
Right. Sometimes he doesn't shoot the ball, and he should. He should shoot the ball, or sometimes he tries to give it to someone who has a better shot. We have that, and I'm not sure if he's totally confident in his shot, Alex. I mean, I'm just wondering about that. How confident is the guy in his shot?
Yeah, that's definitely one thing to consider, and it's hard to say because it's one thing when the guy came out of high school, very highly touted, recruited by many schools, was said to be one of the better shooting forwards in the state of Indiana when he came out of there. And now, you know what? I think it has to do more with the role of the team too, because he's not the guy that's going to get off 10 to 20 shots a game. That's just the way Izzo molds his team. Now, if he's going to a smaller school, if he's at a Butler or Valparaiso, if he's at a school that really relies on that outside shot, I think it'd be a completely different story. And the fact that, he is a captain, he comes off the bench, I think that that's very important, but in a lesser sense in the way that he's going to have a different role on this team than maybe shooting the ball, lights out every single night.
Yeah, and that's the thing with him. I've noticed, if you're a defender, you just have to stay up on him. You want to make a guy like that move. You don't want him to get set and get in a rhythm or anything. So you don't want him to just sit down and then when you pass in the ball, they've got a time to get their shot off and get their shot off and get to moving. But that's part of the problem that he has is being a scorer and being called a scorer. And everybody knows he's supposed to score, and he has to basically, just get out there and play well, play offense well, and just look and start looking more for a shot. He has to do that, and he has to be able to get his shot off quick. That's what I'm meaning to say. He has to learn to get his shot off quick, and get a good jump shot off. But he's always moving, moving everywhere and trying to get a shot off. So the time right now is 19 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
The cover of the New York Post shows a man on the tracks moments before an oncoming train ends his life. Now the photographer and the editors who ran the image are at the center of a controversy over media and morals. I'm Ari Shapiro, photojournalism and ethics, plus Senator Sheldon Whitehouse on the Fiscal Cliff, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. A high today of 42. It'll be mostly cloudy. Mostly cloudy and a chance of rain with a low in the mid-30s tonight. Friday's forecast, cloudy and a good chance of rain and a high of 45. For Saturday, partly sunny with a chance of rain and a high of 42.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Let's go to the phones and see who we have. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Earl. How you doing today?
Okay.
Well, sad to see that you're going to retire, but sad in one way and happy in the other.
Yep.
Just make sure to keep yourself busy, because it's the people that don't keep themselves busy that have future problems.
Yeah, I'll definitely be trying to do that, that's for sure.
How about the MSU women?
Hey, undefeated, 8-0 right now. They've got a great team. And what's helped, I think what's helped Susie a lot, she's got a smaller rotation because of the injuries. She's had to rely on a smaller rotation. And that I think that's really helped the team. She doesn't have the depth of the bench that she's had. And she's relying on her five starters are playing a lot. And it's really working for them.
Well, a good thing is the girls do know how they've been playing together for each
yes,
other, with each other for a while.
Exactly.
So it's not like, you know, they're just coming out to starting something. At least they know each other. They hang out together. So I think that it's not too bad at all to see the women go. But, you know, they haven't played the toughest schedule in the world. But that's good because it's kind of jumping up their confidence level, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And nice to see that, you know, Clarissa, she got a little bit older.
Yep.
I think a little bit more wiser. And now she's just kind of just playing her heart out. So it's really good to see her attacking the basket, taking the outside shot, dishing off dishing off the ball to the other players, and kind of coming around pretty well.
Yes, yeah, she's doing a good job. And, you know, it sometimes it just takes kids a little while to get adjusted to college ball and adjusted to playing at this level. And she just took her a little bit longer. I know people thought she should come in and start playing right away. And a lot of times that just doesn't happen. It's a lot to learn to adjust and play ball at this level. Some people have some kids have the patience. Some do pick things right away. So it's one of those things that, you know, It happens for some a lot sooner. It's just like studying. Some of us learn the material real quick, and some of us it just takes a long time and we struggle with it.
Well, the way she recruits, you know, her kids are like the superstars of their high school team. And when they come out of high school, you know, they expect to be, boom, thrown in right there and expect to be the top player, you know, because she's been recruiting some really good talent. And sometimes it just takes them a little bit. And
it
you know,
is,
once
it
they
does.
Start maturing, they'll get a little bit older, start maturing, know the system, then boom, there you go.
Exactly.
That's a complete player.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. It's good talking with you, buddy.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. And, yes, let's see. We've got our good friend Steve Morgan on the phone. And Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing good today, Earl. And, you know, I'm still breathing.
Yeah, that's the main thing. We both are.
That's right.
And that's a good thing. Hey, and as you, I know you know Clarissa Bell, and she's off to a great. She's starting playing. Your girl Annalise Pickerell, you know her well, and you know they're off to a good start. They're unbeaten, 8-0, first time in school history.
Wow. Yeah. And to think that they thought Annalise wasn't going to even be able to come back from the surgery.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know a little bit more. You've had the inside scoop on a lot of math things, and it doesn't surprise you, I'm sure.
No, I knew they'd be back, and yeah.
You know that's the only way we do it.
Yep.
That's the only way we do it.
That's true. Well, what,
she's unselfish, so
yes,
you know
she is.
Yeah,
she is a very unselfish player and a very much, as we say, a team player.
Yes.
And you know, and that's always good, and that's a plus for any player. You know, it'd be nice if we could you know, get all the kids to buy into that. Just be a team player. Yes, sometime you may play a lot, sometime you may not, but be a good team player.
Well, you got to look at what's happened, you know, early on. You know, and from 21 years, I've been looking at it. And when certain freshmen go out, they're highly touted, and they go off to their respective universities, and next thing you know, before the half the season's gone, they're transferring out or they're not making the grade or they're sitting on the bench with no uniform on, and you wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they weren't disciplined. They didn't want to make that commitment. They were selfish. They didn't want to make the commitment to the academic side of it, to the meetings, to everything that it takes to go into being a D1 player. And that ain't for everybody.
That's true. It's not. It's not. And you love seeing girls or guys just blossom. You know, it's nice,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. And you know, when you're talking about Clarissa and, you know, and you're talking about Annalise, you know, and I don't know the rest of the girls as well as I know those two. And you're talking about two people that came out of high school, and they both were champions out of high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they came in their first year, thanks to Kalisha Keenan and those group of girls that they had, they got a taste of a Big Ten title. They're going to get another one.
Yep. I think so.
You know, half of a battle, you can lead a horse to water, and now right. You can't make him drink.
Yep.
It sure is a lot easier to make him drink once he tastes how good it is.
Exactly. And once they learn everything and learn the system, and that's where I think a lot of people just don't have that patience, thinking, why can't this girl do this, or why can't she do that? Well, you know, give them time to learn. I mean, we all learn, you know, it's no secret to us. Everybody learns at a different pace. I mean, you know, we can study the same book. You might learn it in a half hour. It might take me a month. You know, you just don't know.
And, absolutely. I see it with kids in terms of strength and conditioning. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple kids I'm not going to give any shout-outs on them because they're still in high school playing. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to jinx them. But they've come a long way.
Yeah.
And if they're listening, they know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the guys, two of the guys weren't even being recruited. They didn't even play for their respective teams. Mm-hmm. And now they're starting for very good teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot to be said for hard work. And so the parents that are out there, if you got kids that are skeptical about what you get with hard work, you need to point them in the direction of some of the other positive role models we have right here. You don't have to look to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
You can just look right out here in East Lansing and see some good ones, male and female.
Yes, and that's the key. You know, I've always been a big favor. You know, look hard at people who do the hardest work, who work the hardest, get the best results usually. And you know, we've seen that for years and years, Steve. I mean, you know, you and I have seen that kids that really work hard at their craft, try to get better. They usually get better, maybe a little better, maybe a lot better, but some ways mm-hmm. they get better, become just a better player.
And they become better people. They, mm-hmm. you know, the maturation process is wonderful to watch. It really is. It's painful sometimes when you see them come in and they're crying and they're disappointed in themselves and they don't understand the system. It's painful because you want to tell them that it's all going to be better in time.
Yeah.
But sometimes that ain't what they want to hear.
Right.
And they need something right. a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
So in those cases, we usually go on down to the Great Harvest and get some food. we try to just have a good meal and forget about it and keep working.
Yeah. That's what you have to do. Just keep working and don't give up. As Jimmy V used to say, and you just don't want anybody to give up, because if you can see that they have some good skills, some good basic skills, you know, you just have to develop it, and basically sometimes you just have to wait your turn, you know.
You do, and especially when you go into a program like Michigan State, male or female,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much in any sport, you're going to have the cream of the cream and the respective sports from around the state, from sometimes even from around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have to understand that. I know when I went off to Eastern Michigan, I was not a blue-chip player, but I found my starting spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just sometimes you just got to wait, and things have to open up, injuries happen, and you stay in shape, and next thing you know, Jed's a millionaire.
Yeah, that's...
Earl, I wanted to talk a little bit about today, about getting some of these kids up and motivated.
Okay.
I got the Motivational Dynamics of Sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a paper that was put together by Penn State University
mm-hmm.
A few years back. And they explored the numerous approaches to motivate. You know, everything from Skinner and Pavlov's hierarchy of needs and behavioral patterns. To just the basic, you know, are you extrinsically motivated or are you intrinsically motivated?
Yeah.
Do you need someone yelling at you to do good, or do you don't need that? Or do you just get up in the morning and you talk to yourself in the mirror and you make yourself go to work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's a little different.
Yep.
And what I'd like to do today is try to have the parents think about some of the things I'm talking about and see if it fits your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And if it fits your kid, then it gives you a little insight to why they're not motivated to do certain things and how you can get them to do certain things.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And the first thing is one of the most popular and widely tested theories in terms of motivation is self-determination theory. Mm-hmm. And that's when, you know, the behavior regulations can be placed on a continuum, from the least to the most determined. External regulation, interjected regulation, identified regulation, integrated regulation, and intrinsic regulation. So then you have, after that, you got the flow. And that's the ultimate motivational state. The flow is when a kid, you tell them to do something, and they just go right into it.
Yeah.
They don't gripe. They don't complain. They don't need justification. these are the kids that are comprising, as the study has shown, most of your professional athletes are flowing.
Okay.
They are flowing. They're self-motivated. They understand what they're after. They have set goals. People have set goals for them extrinsically, or they have set goals for them intrinsically. So, for example, if your kid is 8 or 9 years old, they can't very well set their own goals at this point because they don't really know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do know what it means, they don't understand the implications of it. If they don't achieve those goals, now what happens, Dad? Or Mom, you say, you know, I said I was going to knock down 10 points against Hazlitt, and I didn't do it. And so what happens now? Does the world stop? Do I go to sleep now and somebody meets me in my dream and they hurt me? I mean, what happens, Dad, Mom?
Yeah.
Well, it's very important for you as a parent to be able to nurture them at this point and set new goals and let them understand that failure is a part of life.
Yeah.
And in order to get better, we must fail.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important for you as a parent to step in at that point and bumper this thing and cushion it and make it so that it's palatable for them and they can continue to set new goals, short-term as well as long-term, and they can continue to develop along this continuum. Having done that, as they get older, they won't need you at about 15 to 16. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to set their own. The only thing they'll come to you for at that point is some type of reward system. Okay.
Yep.
I got 4-0. Mm-hmm. What do I get?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The reward system is a third one, and that's obviously an extrinsically motivated system whereby they're looking to get something for doing something. And well, that's what a lot of parents do, especially divorced parents. When the kid comes over and they don't want to deal with this or that, or you know, and next thing you know, you just put them in front of the TV.
Mm-hmm.
You just stick them in front of the TV, and you know, the reward is that they, you know, they can just sit there and they can do what they want to do, and that's a reward to them. But really, it's not. It's leading to a sedentary lifestyle. Normally, they don't receive any good education in terms of food, nutrition, sports, or education in terms of reading, math, and so on. They don't normally find those on the video games. They find strictly entertainment.
That's true.
And at a limited format in that. And sometimes that form of entertainment can be detrimental as well. You know, all the killing and bloodshed and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, that's...
So those are the three that I wanted to just leave out there today and just keep it brief. There's a lot more. But if you want to know more about it, you should probably go to the Penn State Athletic Department's website and look under their sports psychology department, and you'll find all the motives that they have methods that they employ in terms of this study to motivate younger and older athletes throughout their careers.
Yes, and that's very good advice, Steve. Hopefully, people will check out the studies and check that out. And you know, we've been talking about it for years. And yes, if you can motivate, you know, you should do whatever you can to motivate your youngster. You know, and hopefully that'll help them. You know, sometimes it's like anything else in life. Sometimes things work. Sometimes you can do something and they'll work. And sometimes, you know, maybe you just don't know what to do. You can try that, or maybe sometime, as you know, sometimes things just don't work out, and that's part of life.
Absolutely. But I can give you an extreme example of that. Mm-hmm. One that we all remember that was actually game changing was Latrell Sprewell and what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at some point, BJ, you got to stop saying what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you can't keep, you know, just degrading a guy. And I'm not for standing up for Latrell Sprewell by any stretch of the imagination, nor at maximum athletic performance do we ever preach that you go fight your coach on any level.
Yeah.
But as a grown man, at some point, you can't keep pushing him and talking bad about him. And BJ, as a coach at that level, should have understood that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's an extreme example of extrinsic motivation gone terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Terribly wrong.
Yeah, we try to motivate people the right way so that hopefully they can become better players and better people
Absolutely.
You know, that's what we really want, and that's what we're looking for, to help you become a better person and a better athlete as well. And hopefully, and you can do both.
Yeah, and to comprehend your situation and the magnitude of it and how little it means in your life's existence. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a sport at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Okay, and that really needs to be passed along. I know we do it with our kids all the time. We really want them to excel, and you know our high rate of excellence. But at the same time, I'm always quick to point out when they fail, and those moments do occur,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you're up again in tomorrow morning, and you're going back at it again.
Yep. And the one thing, you know, I do wish, Stephen, and this is out of our control, is that, you know, their friends, I mean, I just wish that people would be more sensitive, you know, because, you know, we hear it all the time. No one talks to me and no one wants to do anything. You know, it seems like people, for the most part, they only want to help the kids who are winners or they perceive to be winners, and not the regular kids or the guys on the team who may be struggling a lot. And I've always felt that's a problem that I don't know if that will ever be improved.
Addressed independently, yeah. I don't either. I think certain leagues and certain communities throughout our country have tried to address it with everybody play leagues.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no keeping score in certain leagues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They have to, you know, the shaking hands and things like that has to continue.
Yeah.
You have to teach sportsmanship and that, especially at the lower levels.
Yes.
Because all those kids obviously are not going to D1 schools. We know that statistically.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that they can still have a wonderful lifetime, as our CEOs and COOs of major companies will tell you, that they got their start in scouting, they got their start in sports. And they didn't go any further than high school with either one of those, but they became very good citizens and community leaders and business leaders at the same time.
Without a doubt.
So it's not the end-all, be-all if you can't dunk the ball. It's not the end-all, be-all if you can't swim as fast as Mark Spitz.
Yeah.
It's not the end-all, be-all. Mm-hmm. You know, there's life ahead of it.
See, Alex, that means you see, even though you're beating me right now as a swimmer, I may still catch you one of these days.
And maybe 20 years ago, Earl, maybe.
Earl, I'm still trying to get you to go out to the hill on Waverly. You can forget about
it. Now, Stephen, Earl, let me tell you this. The one thing that Earl is very good at, though, is he is shifty. Running through the stands after the game's going on in the field, you just can't stop the guy.
That's an occupational required.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's something you got to do for the job.
That's right.
Hey, Steve.
Where are we at with regards to our call-ins today? Did we get any athletes or any parents calling in?
No, we didn't.
Oh.
Hopefully they took some good notes. They were out there listening. So hopefully we got some people out there listening that will take our advice, that you know, they'll try to do a better job of parenting and of trying to do a better job of helping their kids.
You know, we call it damage repair, damage control.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, whatever happens at practice, when they come home, it should be left at practice.
Yep.
Okay, and then they're once again, once they come in the house, at least with my kids, when they get home, they put the stuff off, and then they just go in, and they're at home.
Yep.
They don't need to talk about it.
Exactly, and that's the thing, too. We should, as you and I have talked to so many coaches over the years, So just leave it, you know, if they got a trouble or fight with the kids or the coach, let the coaches handle it. Don't you as a parent get involved. Just let the coaches handle it.
Yes, and then if they let you down and at some point you feel it's necessary, then you're going to have to stick in there, because a lot of guys do drop the ball.
Yep.
You know, I've seen it throughout the years, and so have you, and some of the things that they say and do, it just dumbfounds me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They kind of have a tendency to forget who they're dealing with.
Yep, they do.
And yep.
Yes, I am. But hey, we'll continue to keep an eye on it, Stephen. We'll talk about it from time to time. Yeah, it's been a good conversation today, Steve. That's for sure. And we'll talk more about that when we come up, get you on again. And of course, we'll talk more health and physical fitness and doing more of that, which we do all the time anyway.
No, we're getting closer again, right?
Yep.
New Year's is right around the corner.
It is. And we know, yeah, those people will be making those New Year's resolutions. They'll be making those new items out, and they'll be saying what they're going to do for the year and how they're going to do it. And hopefully we can keep them going because, you know, the big problem is that too many people quit after they've been working out for a month or two. We want you to keep going and keep going strong. So hopefully we can motivate you to somehow keep going and not quit.
Yes. It's absolutely devastating, you know, when I hear the number of people that stop me and they tell me, you know, it would be nice if I could have you around every day, but I just can't do it by myself.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I don't know really what to say to that. I mean, I don't know whether to smile and say thank you for the compliment, or man, do I give you a tongue lashing and tell you to keep going and provide you with the necessary adult extrinsic motivation that one needs? Yep. You know, it really, for those of you listening that stop me in the mall or caught me over at Meijer in the produce section, you know who you are. It makes it tough on me. It's a tough call. I don't want to be rude or anything, but I'm going to say it loud and clear on the air. Get your fanny moving.
That's right.
Don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just stop.
Mm-hmm. You can, and yet, like you say, keep it moving, keep doing something, that's for sure. And oh yeah, this is something, because, you know, it's something that I do, and some people have to do it as well. You know, when you get a little bit older, sometimes you can't do what you did 10 and 15 years ago. So don't be sweating, or don't take it personally or anything, that you might have to lower the weights and lower your slow your running down. You just might have to do things a little bit slower, the main thing is that you keep doing something, even if you can't do what you used to do.
That's right. That's right, Earl. That's a really good message. We've been sending out that message for a long time now. I want to continue with that. And once again, I think, was it last week or the week before, I told everybody that we're making compromises. You can walk and actually get credit with us, okay? I mean, you're bending me over backwards here, okay? Don't take any more liberties, okay? Yeah. Don't ask me about walking a short distance when we just said it's okay to walk.
Yeah.
Get out there and make it count, doggone it. Get in the mall, mm-hmm. go around, look at some things, you know. Go by the shoe store, Victoria's Secret. Have your scenery change a little bit. Maybe that'll help you get going.
Yep. You know, I've got one little tip. It's really a small tip, but, you know, I started walking. I used to be like most people, get as close as I can to where I was going, and just so I could just walk in the store. Well, no, I don't care. I'll park a long ways away and then walk and get a little walk in. And that's
absolutely
always good, you know. But a lot of people still try to get as close as they can.
They're getting close. They're trying to get as close as they can, Earl, mm-hmm. and they're getting mad about it when they can't find a spot.
Exactly. Exactly.
Get a grip, okay? It's only a parking spot. You didn't buy the land.
Yep.
Okay? No one's trespassing on your parking spot because you're too lazy to walk 100 yards.
Exactly. So we want these folks to get out here and don't mind walking. If you got to walk another 10 to 15, 20 yards or longer, just go ahead and do it. And just look at it. You're getting a little bit more exercise than what you normally do.
Mm-hmm. And for crying out loud, during the holiday season, could you not frown up so much? Okay? And that's another pet peeve I got. Not only are people are they fighting over parking spots, which I go out on Christmas Eve. I have for the last X amount of years. I do shopping on Christmas Eve with regularity, and I see it all the time. I see the arguments, believe it or not, on Christmas Eve, you know, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, just stop being so damn upset, please.
Yeah, yes.
Enjoy the holiday season. Give a quarter to the St. Jude's. You know, put some money in the, what is it called, St. Vincent's?
Yeah, St. Vincent's,
just be thankful that we're alive, okay? Can you?
Yeah, hopefully they can. Hopefully we all can.
You know, a pop bottle here and there, a can of green beans goes a long way.
It does.
It really does, Earl. Well, okay.
Okay. Hey, good talking to you, Steve. We'll talk again next week, buddy.
You bet. Okay. And once again, train hard and smart.
Okay. And we'll talk to you later. And hopefully everybody will train hard and smart. That's for sure.
Okay. Take care now.
Take care. Talk to you later, Steve. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Steve Morgan talking health, physical fitness training with us right here on AM 870. It's something that everyone needs to do. We know so many of you don't train, but we really know that a lot of you do need some kind of training and some kind of, you know, no matter what the age, hopefully you're doing something. And we want you to do something and hopefully get started. The time now, 45 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
When temperatures drop, shelters provide a hot meal and a warm place to sleep. But it can be tough to convince people used to living on the streets to come indoors.
Where are you going to stay tonight?
I stay outside. We sleep outside.
But it's so cold. Don't you want to come in?
I'm Ari Shapiro, helping the homeless find shelter in the cold. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today's high, 42 degrees and mostly cloudy. Mostly cloudy and maybe some rain tonight with a low of 35. Friday will be cloudy. There's a good chance of rain tomorrow and a high of 45. Partly sunny with a chance of rain on Saturday and a high in the low 40s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want to come to the game coming up on Saturday between Michigan State and Loyola of Chicago, give us a call at 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783 for your chance to win tickets to the Michigan State Loyola of Chicago game coming up on Saturday. 517-884-4783. Just want to tell you that in recognition of the Michigan State Spartans football team's sixth straight bowl appearance in the Downtown Coaches Club, we'll hold the final luncheon of the 2012 season Friday, December 7th. That's tomorrow at the Eagle Eye Golf Center. Will Tiemann, a member of the Michigan State football radio broadcast team for 15 years and current broadcast host, will be the guest speaker. Doors open at 10:30 a.m. and the program starts at 11:45. So that's coming up tomorrow. It's official. MSU will represent the Big Ten Conference in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl on Saturday, December 29th. Register or call online or call the hotline at 888-471-3027. The MSU Alumni Association and MSU Athletics have partnered to bring you an exciting program in Tempe. You can be assured of the quality tour enjoyed in the company of other Michigan State alumni and friends. So give us a call, talk sports with us, and hey, maybe you'll get to go. Maybe we can watch Alex go out there on December 29th and be a part of that, even though he'll probably say he can't go out there. But we'll see if we can get Alex to go out there and just give us a report on the Tempe Bowl, the bowl, the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. Hey, give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WK. Let's go to the phones, and we've got Ray on the line. Ray, how you doing?
Hey, Merry Christmas, Earl.
Hey, same to you, buddy.
And Happy New Year, too.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
A little early, but I did it out there. Hey, I see the bullies from Ann Arbor. They didn't get Georgia. I was hoping they'd get Georgia. They'd get a bigger spanking, but I think they'll still get a spanking with South Carolina.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game. That bowl seems like that one's a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, I think it might be a defensive struggle, don't you?
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. South Carolina, for some reason, they said they've had a little trouble scoring offensively themselves, but they got a great defense.
They do. They have a great defense, and I'm looking for that. They've got a great, great defense. Javion Clowney, he's a monster at defensive end, and everybody's always running away from him. He's going to be tough.
What was the two losses South Carolina had? Didn't they beat somebody top in the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, they did. I'm trying to think if they beat Georgia or not.
That's what I was trying to figure out. I think they did beat Georgia. I think, but they lost two games. I was trying to figure out the two they lost to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, those bullies from Ann Arbor had sent me a thing and wanted me to send them thousands of dollars. You know what I did for them for Christmas?
What was that?
I sent all 11 of them a Christmas card and told them how to get saved and told them all their money and their arrogance and pride might not get them into heaven, but I can get them into hell. I'm hoping it gets them saved, buddy.
Okay.
I'm praying for them. You know, you pray for them, buddy.
Okie dokie.
God bless you, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later, Ray. Yeah, bye-bye. The time now is 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Let's go back to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, good, how you doing, Earl?
Okay.
You know, I'm getting to the point where it's hard to watch football anymore.
Uh-huh.
I guess I don't understand why a team or a questionable call is, you know, the one coach is arguing over a call, plays the bad call. They get up to the line of scrimmage, and then they call a timeout. Then they review it, okay?
Yep.
So does that automatically mean if they call a timeout, they have to review it? No, it doesn't, does it?
Right. No, it doesn't. But, you know, they usually do because if it's a play that could be reviewable, then or they don't have time because, as you know, you see most teams will try to run up, especially in college ball, and get the playoff
right
before it can be reviewed. So
right,
you get – yeah. If you get the
–
yeah.
And then they get up there, and they actually snap the ball sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and then they got to review it because somebody called a timeout. And my point is if they're going to review it because the guy coach called the timeout, then they got time. Why don't they review it before that even happens?
Well, you
before
see,
they call the timeout.
Well, that's the problem too, because you know you don't review all the plays. Some plays are considered reviewable, so you know you don't really want to slow the game down so much. So you know,
well, I'm getting to the point where I'd just rather go back to no reviews and just call it the way it is.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, it just disrupts everything, and I just hate it when they. I don't mind it when they run a play and then they review it right away, okay,
mm-hmm.
before the team doesn't get back in the huddle and make the huddle and come out, break out of the huddle. I have no problem with that, okay? But
yep.
when they get up there and then they beat all that, then they keep calling the timeout, then they review it. Well, if they call a timeout because they call the timeout or review it, well, then do it without calling the timeout. I don't, you know?
Well, if it's a scoring play, people they review it. You know, if it's not a scoring play, a lot of times they're not going to review because it's too. Then you'd be stopping the clock too much. So you're not going to review all these plays that aren't scoring plays.
I know, but you know, another thing is I watch all the high school games,
mm-hmm.
most all of them, and when they kick off or have a kickoff or a punt or a run back or something like that, you hardly ever saw a holding or a push in the back on those high school kids.
Yeah.
You watch the pros and the colleges, and you automatically, and I know you do this too, on a kickoff where they do run it back, you're looking up at that yellow box, and you know there's going to be a flag, don't you?
Yeah, it's a good chance.
And if you watch those high school games, and I watched it on purpose on all those kickoffs, and you hardly ever saw a holding or a push in the back or a clip. Those high school kids were more disciplined than the college and the pro.
Well, one thing you have to remember, too, you don't have the speed in high school. You just every team maybe has one player, maybe two players that are fast, but all the players are pretty fast in college because you're getting the better ones because, you know, you just don't have that kind of speed in high school.
It still comes down to discipline. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. And some of them have discipline. Some of them can't do that anyway, what you're saying. A lot of guys just can't do it.
The pros are the worst.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, did Eastern play last Tuesday night, Eastern Quakers basketball?
I think they did. I don't have the score here in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they did play last Saturday night, last Tuesday.
I couldn't find them in the paper anywhere.
If they didn't, well, they'll play Friday, that's for sure.
Well, I thought they were going to play at Wausau, but they had Wausau playing Everett, and I swear Everett and Eastern were playing.
Oh, no, I saw Everett played Williamston last Tuesday night because I was at that game, Williamston and Everett.
So Eastern hasn't played yet there?
May not have.
Oh, all right. Well, I was looking forward to it. So.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Thanks, Dale.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And let's see, we got one more call. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air with us?
Yeah, hello?
Yep, howdy.
Hey, Earl, you didn't say Bob's on it. Hey. talking about rules and procedures.
Yes.
I've got three things that I would suggest for basketball, and I know people will think I'm nuts and so on, but number one, the one I've always been behind is, in order to call a timeout, you must be in a position to advance the ball. You can't be going out of bounds 3 feet in the air and call a timeout.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that one.
Number two, I don't see what's wrong with a kick ball. You can fly your hands all over. What's wrong with kicking the ball? I say we eliminate calling a kick ball and disrupting the game.
Okay.
You go along with that?
Yeah, we'll go along.
Number three, my biggie one, a foul. When a guy's shooting a ball, in my mind, is because the defensive player took advantage or he impeded that offensive player from making a shot. If the shot goes in, I say he was not impeded. He made his shot. So I'm saying let's not have fouls called on a made basket.
Well, that one's a little tougher because, sure, I mean, everybody. A lot of times you get fouled. I'm sitting right there courtside. A lot of time I see guys getting fouled in the act of shooting, but they're still strong enough to get the shot off. And a lot of guys still are strong enough, even though they were people were trying to block their shot or trying to stop it, but they were strong enough to get their shot off. And that happens quite a bit as well.
Well, he's strong enough, fine, but he made the basket. That was his objective, was to put the ball in the hoop and went in, so he doesn't need a foul on it.
Well, you're only getting one extra point. I don't have a problem with that one because you're only getting the extra point, one extra point there if you get fouled during in the course of shooting. So I don't have a problem with that one.
Well, you're stopping the game and have to go and shoot one free throw.
Yep.
So, well, I'm going to still push for it.
Okay. Okay. We'll talk to you later, my friend. Okay. Bye bye. And that's it. And what do you say about these different rules and different fouls? How do you see that, Alex?
You know what? Here's what I say about the different rules and problems. I mean, there are so many problems arise in all kinds of sports, football, basketball. Let's look at the challenge flag penalty with Jim Schwartz throwing the challenge flag, him having a called touchdown that wasn't really a touchdown, but since he threw the flag, they had to rule it a touchdown. I know you remember that game, Earl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the thing about all these rules and changes is that it all relies on – it's almost like politics. It's almost like, you know, you're going to go to the Congress or you're going to have some sort of action in order to pass a bill. The same thing applies to sports. If there's wide public attention to it, then that's the only reason I say it changes.
Yeah, because the bottom line is, because as we see with so many, a lot of people who are wanting rule changes and such, just like our caller, you're going to have some rules that you can get a lot of people to agree on, but most of the time, you're not going to have people agreeing on rules. We just have a set of rules. Basically, you got to live with them. I mean, sure, maybe they can be maybe to improve, enhance them a little bit. But a lot of times you just have to go along with what's been called.
See, that's the thing, though. I don't know if you can agree with them because if there's no fighting against these rules, then there's no public society. There's no amendments to anything. I mean, let's look at baseball. There are so many called balls and strikes.
Yeah.
Armando Galarraga's blown perfect game. And that's just a couple things to start. And if you want to even get more into it, let's talk about all the Chicago Cubs and Boston Red Sox World Series games that were blown because of missed calls. There needs to be MLB review. There needs to be a certain amount of things that are still, even today, getting brought up to major boards and major organizations.
Yes, I mean, that's why you having such a call for replay. And even with replay, it doesn't solve everything. I mean, some calls you can see them, it's right or wrong, and it will help in some ways, but it doesn't solve everything.
Right.
And people really thought it would solve everything, but it really hasn't. But, I think replay is good, and we're always going to have it, so that's good. But, don't expect it to solve every little call or missed call, or if you think it's a missed call, because it might not go your way.
Yeah, now for replay, would you still have replays on balls and strikes? Because personally, Earl, I feel like there is a natural part of the game with a ref's eye, an umpire's eye, that should determine balls and strikes only.
Yes, I agree with that. I think balls and strikes should be just left to the umpire, and that's it. And the other balls and strikes, if you want to call outfield hits, home runs, to see if they're, check those out. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Time to thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. Of course, we want you to come back and join us tomorrow. Alex and I will be here. We hopefully will have more guests to talk with you. Hopefully we'll have Lomas Brown here tomorrow to talk talk with you right here on AM 870. So I want to thank you all for having a great program today, and come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have a safe and a pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.